This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Michael Orthodox Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures and to day 78 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year, using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is March 19. In our reading from Joshua today, we will hear a summary of the victories of Moses and Joshua and begin to see how the land will be divided into the various tribes of Israel. Let's begin. Joshua chapters 12 through 14. Now these are the kings of the land whom the sons of Israel put to death, and whose land they inherited beyond the Jordan in the east, from the valley of Arnon to Mount Hermon, and all the land of Arabah in the east. These kings were Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is in the valley, over part of the valley, and half of Gilead toward Jabbok, the border of the sons of Ammon, and Arabah toward the Sea of Chinnereth to the east, and as far as the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, from the east, the way toward Beth Jeshimoth, and from Teman below Ashdoth Pisgah, and Og, king of Bashan, who remained from the giants who dwelt in Ashtaroth and Edrei, and who ruled from Mount Hermon and from Salca, and all Bashan as far as the borders of the Geshurites, and the Maacathites, and half of Gilead, to the borders of Sihon, the king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the sons of Israel struck them down, and Moses gave them as a possession to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now these are the kings of the Amorites whom Joshua and the sons of Israel put to death on the other side of the Jordan, by the sea of Baal-Gad in the plain of Lebanon, and as far as Mount Halak, and the ascent of Seir, and Joshua gave this to the tribes of Israel to inherit according to their portion, in the mountain and in the plain, in Arabah and in Ashdoth, in the desert and in the south, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The kings of these were the king of Jericho, the king of Ai, which is near Bethel, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, the king of Gezer, the king of Deber, the king of Gedur, the king of Hormah, the king of Arad, the king of Libna, the king of Adullam, the king of Makeda, the king of Bethel, the king of Tapua, the king of Hefer, the king of Aphek, the king of Lasharon, the king of Madon, the king of Hazor, the king of Shimron Meron, the king of Akshaph, the king of Tanakh, the king of Megiddo, the king of Kadesh, the king of Jokneam in Carmel, the king of Dor in the heights of Dor, the king of the people of Gilgal, and the king of Tirzah. All these kings equaled 31. Now Joshua was old and advanced in days, and the Lord said to Joshua, "You are advanced in days, and much land remains to inherit. The remaining land is the territories of the Philistines, the Geshurites, and the Canaanites, from Sihor east of Egypt, as far as the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, the Ekronites, and also the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Meara, that belongs to the Sidonians as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gebelites and all Lebanon toward the sunrise from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon as far as the entrance to Hamath, all the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon as far as the brook Misrephoth and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land by lot to the nine tribes and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, from the Jordan as far as the great sea westward. You will give this to them, with the great sea as the boundary. But to the two tribes, the Reubenites and the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses gave an inheritance beyond the Jordan, Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them eastward, from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city in the midst of the valley, and in the town in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba as far as Dibon, all the cities of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the children of Ammon, Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, or the Maacathites, all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, as far as Salcah, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast out these. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance, because their inheritance is the Lord God of Israel, as the Lord said to them. So this was the division Moses distributed to the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab, on the other side of the Jordan towards Jericho. Now Moses had given an inheritance to the tribe of Reuben according to their families. Their territories were from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city in the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba, Heshbon, and all the cities of the plain, Dibon, Bamoth Baal, and Beth Baal Meon, Jahaza and Kedemeth, Mephath, Karjathaim, Sibma, Zereth Shahar on the mountain of the valley, and Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth, and all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses had struck with the princes of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, who were princes of Sihon dwelling in the country. The children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam the son of Beor, the soothsayer, among those who were killed by them. The border of the children of Reuben was the bank of the Jordan. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses also had given an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the children of Gad according to their families. Their boundary lines were Jazer, all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the Ammonites as far as Aroer, which is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramath Mitzpah and Betonim, and from Mahanaim to the border of Debir, and in the valley Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as its border, as far as the edge of the sea of Chinnereth, on the other side of the Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses had also given an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh, according to their families. Their boundary was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair which are in Bashan, 60 cities, half of Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were for the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for half of the children of Machir according to their families. These are the areas Moses had distributed as an inheritance beyond the plains of Moab on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho eastward. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Joshua for the 9 tribes and the half-tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and the half-tribe on the other side of the Jordan, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land except cities to dwell in, with common lands for their livestock and their property. As the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning myself and you and Kadesh Barnea. For I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as he wished. But my brothers who went up with me turned aside the heart of the people while I continued to follow the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, The land on which you set foot shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you continue to follow the Lord your God. Now the Lord has sustained me, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, and Israel wandered in the desert, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as when Moses sent me, as strong now to go out and come in for war. Now therefore I ask you for this mountain, as the Lord said in that day, since you heard this word in that day. For now the Anakim are there with large and fortified cities. Therefore, if the Lord is with me, I will utterly destroy them, as the Lord said to me. So Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the son of Kenez, as an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he followed the command of the Lord God of Israel. But the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba, the capital of the Anakim. Then the land rested from war. Psalm 68, verses 21 through 37. My soul expected disgrace and trouble, and I waited for someone to sympathize with me, but no one was there, and for comforters, but I found not one. They gave me gall for my food, and they gave me vinegar for my drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and a recompense and a stumbling block. Let their eyes be darkened so they may not see, and bend down their backs continually. Pour out your anger upon them, and let the fury of your wrath lay hold of them. Let their dwelling place be laid waste, and let no one live in their tents. For they pursued closely the one you slew, and they added to the pain of my wounds. Add lawlessness to their lawlessness, and let them not enter into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out from the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. I am poor and suffering, and the salvation of your presence, O God, lays hold of me. I will praise God's name with a song. I will magnify him in praise. And this shall be more pleasing to God than a young bull with horns and hooves. Let the poor behold this and be glad. Seek God, and your soul shall live. For the Lord hears the poor, and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God shall save Zion, and the cities of Judah shall be built, and they shall dwell therein and inherit it, and the seed of his servants shall possess it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 11 through 15. The houses of the ungodly will be destroyed, but the tents of the upright shall stand. There is a road that seems to be right with men, but the ends of it reach into the depths of Hades. Sorrow does not mingle with gladness, but in the end this joy turns to sorrow. A bold-hearted man will be filled with his own ways, but a good man with all his thoughts. A simple man believes in every word, but an astute man comes to repentance. Mark chapter 15, verses 21 through 47. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion, who stood opposite him, saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joses observed where he was laid. So we're getting to the end of the gospel according to Mark. And today Jesus is crucified and dies on the cross. The scriptures then tell us that the women were looking on while the men, for the most part, had scattered. It's interesting how this scene of our redemption seems to be a reversal of the fall and our condemnation. At first, a woman leads Adam into sin, and now it is the women who remain faithful while the men hide. They will be the first to announce the resurrection. We often talk about the healing of our souls, but it's also humanity that is broken. And in these events, humanity and the whole cosmos is beginning to be healed and restored. And we watch it happen. The insults, the suffering, the whipping, the cursing, the beating, the humiliation, the hammering, the nails, the pain, the thirst. And we might not see this as it truly is if we forget that he does this as a human being. He's not on the cross saying, "This isn't so bad. After all, I'm God." No, we believe that Jesus is fully God and fully human. He experiences the cross and all the suffering that goes with it, including emotional suffering, as a full human being. He has fully entered into humanity. God has entered into our experience. He became fully what we are so that he could heal us. We've been reading throughout the Old Testament that God has called his people into a covenant. He wants them to live in a certain way. And yet time after time, the people don't listen. They want to go their own way. They grumble. They really don't get it. God tells them that he wants to give them life, give them the promised land, wants to be present with them. But so often they rebel, choosing a path that the Lord did not put them on, a path that leads to destruction. And then Jesus comes, fully human, one of us, and lets us know that he understands us, that he has faced trials and tribulations from our perspective. He hangs on the cross and says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I've talked before about Psalm 21, where that verse comes from, but beyond that, this is the ultimate expression of being human. We've all felt like that, abandoned, alone. Jesus knows what we're going through. There's nothing that we can go through, no difficulty, hardship, or tragedy that he doesn't understand. This is the one who wants us to be in union with him, the God who knows us and understands us, how broken we are sometimes, who is so sad that we aren't what we're called and intended to be, who gives us himself in communion and the mysteries of the church to bring us healing, who tells us the way out of this darkness is to embrace the light that he offers. As Saint Porphyrio said, "Do not fight to expel the darkness from the chamber of your soul. Open a tiny aperture for light to enter, and the darkness will disappear." Let's let this be our challenge for today. Let Christ's light enter and heal. And tomorrow, we will come together again. And remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. For more information about the ministries of St. Michael Orthodox Church, please visit OrthodoxKY.com. That's OrthodoxKY.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.